Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
All right. First day of May here. Summer is on the way still, but it's feeling like it outside, out here,
I am. Very jealous of you, because it is still... It's still like 50 degrees here in Chicago, but I think this coming week is going to be like 60, and then maybe the next one 70. It couldn't get here any quicker, in my opinion. It's just dreary. I'm over it. It's not even the coldest that it's ever been. I am just so sick of it being like not summer.
Yeah. Not like actually kind of pleasant and hot to be outside and everything.
Yeah.
No, I feel that. That's how it kind of was here. It's actually funny. I'm actually going on a trip to Texas soon, and I was asking, I was like, oh, okay, like, what should I, like, bring? What should I wear? Blah, 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 and all that stuff. They're like, oh, you know, like, it'll be, like, pretty casual. Some people will be, like, dressed up. Some people will be, like, in, you know, board shorts and flip-flops or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, like, so I can, like, wear, like, shorts or whatever. It's like, yeah, you probably want to. I think it'll be around somewhere around, like, 90, and that's, like, that's, like, up there. I was like, 90? Like, 90 is, like, the max.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, it's that, like, I was like... He was like, oh, is that hot for you? I was like, that's like boiling.
That's very hot.
For
yes.
me right now. That's crazy hot.
That is a 50 degree difference, like right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say that's pretty hot, my guy.
I know.
That's great for you. The only time I was down in Texas, it was like decent weather, but then for the rest of the week, it was like 30 degrees. And I was like,
this is a ripoff.
Bowl, yeah. I'm over this. Like, why did this just happen to happen? It was February, but like, I don't know. I have an expectation in Texas that it's constantly hot there. Yeah. I guess it's not true.
If I crack an egg and if I can't fry it on any surface, then you know,
that's then is it Texas?
Yeah, I want a refund from Texas, the government.
I would love that. For not even living in Texas to get a refund?
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
Think about that, Texas.
Come on, President Biden and rest of the government, because I know that it's a bunch of moving pieces and not just one person.
Well, their governor's pretty lame. I will say that.
That is true.
Greg Abbott does not seem like a very cool guy. He probably would not give money out.
But you know
for
what?
For multiple reasons.
This would be that's a great way for some good PR right there.
Giving us money?
Yeah, Texas Rebate Act. For everyone that's not a Texan, just gets money. And that way it'll keep us out. Because I've heard that they don't want us coming down there, all those Californians spiking their housing market.
There is that stereotype for sure of like, you know, the don't mess with Texas and, you know, Texans in general not taken too kindly to other folks who don't think like a Texan. But Austin, I think, is pretty, like, I think Austin's a pretty weird place that I've heard is, like, that's the only place that I've heard is, like, pretty cool in Texas.
Well, you know, as someone that's actually been down there quite a good amount, or I don't know, I shouldn't even say a good amount, I've just been there recently, Fort Worth was a dang blast, and that was a good time.
Was it? Where's Fort Worth at?
It is outside of Dallas. And I say outside of Dallas because most people think that, you know, Dallas is like the main city. But like, I mean, Fort Worth is a city in and of itself, to be quite frank, the size of it and everything.
Is it like Minneapolis and St. Paul? Like,
yeah, I guess
it's like a little bit smaller, but like St. Paul's still got it going on.
I guess it's
a fair comparison. Shout out to you, St. Paul.
Yeah. Look, I think all that matters is that anywhere you go, people disprove stereotypes and, you know, people are people no matter where you are. But I think also on those lines, I want free money. So give me free money.
I will say I went to Dallas and Dallas sucks. You can at me, anyone in Dallas. Dallas is not cool. Okay. There was good barbecue. It was like the best barbecue I've ever had. Actually, that's not even true. I had some really banging barbecue in Nashville that was very comparable, but Dallas as a city in my off time, pretty not great in my opinion. I would love for you to get angry at specifically me, Dallas residents. And also, if you've got any cool suggestions of places that maybe I should go to redeem Dallas, I would love to know that as
there
well.
Because
I couldn't find anything.
Looking for some Dallas wrecks to make it.
Looking for some Dallas wrecks. We'll never visit.
A star.
But
we want to know them anyway.
But I want to know.
You know, it's actually
and funny. Not just food recommendations. I know food. I know Dallas has got a really banging food scene. I'm talking like entertainment.
You know, it's you know,
I'm
it's
talking really, like things to do.
What's really funny though is that people in Fort Worth told me the same thing about Dallas. They were just like, "Don't go to Dallas. It's not that fun." So,
they're right.
Might be an in-state thing as well.
I completely agree.
Might be a little bit of city rivalry going on.
I mean, yeah. But that's funny because we don't really have any sort of other sort of city rivalry. I'm trying to think of like other sort of things like
Cincinnati.
Chicago
Cleveland.
Doesn't really have a rival. Well, I guess I'm talking about the one that I live in.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, the next big city is Milwaukee, but like we don't care about Milwaukee. They beat us every single. I mean, Wisconsin beats our football team like forever. But
you might not think it's a rivalry, but I would posit that St. Louis is your rival because you throw all your trash downstream into
that's
their
true.
City.
Yeah, no, that's a very true statement that we do throw our garbage there. And I think actually the case is still open, like for like 100 or so years. Like
you just switch like the direction of the river.
Yeah. Actually, thinking about it, it's like St. Louis, like any city along the Mississippi probably hates us. Like especially, I think. Down in where's it going in the Gulf? That's
New Orleans.
Yes, yeah, New Orleans. That's where
I
all
think,
the trash,
right?
Literally, no, it is New Orleans. Yeah. They probably hate us.
Yeah,
for good reason. So well, I'll say we're sorry. I mean, from me, there's nothing that I can really do about it.
Like but. I said, I think that's like the perfect, like. Idea of it is that you thinking like, well, I don't think Chicago has any rivals, but St. Louis is probably just like, what the hell?
It's like, yeah, they're just
we're
plotting.
Your rivals.
Like good. Continue to think that you are safe.
Yeah, there we go.
They're just plotting the whole time. They're scheming with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a board game podcast where we talk about cities of America and the various tiffs.
Which
they
ones
may or may
suck
not have.
And which ones don't suck.
Exactly. And if you're not in a city that we live in, then it's terrible. It's the worst.
Then I don't like it.
But no, we're a board game podcast. We come up with board games and we make them and we put them out there and people buy them. These are all truthful statements.
That is the cycle of board games.
Yes. And then the final, well, I guess to really round out the cycle, it would be they get smashed down all the pieces eventually on a garbage barge and then seagulls play with it
and then sent down the Chicago River to New Orleans.
There we go.
That's the circle. Once it lands in New Orleans, that completes the cycle.
Yeah, and thus the cycle is renewed. Don't ask about how it comes back because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, to jump right into it. Do you want to do that warm up that we had last time? Our little segue, because I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think I'm actually gonna enjoy it more this time because I don't have one to think of off the top of my head. So it'll be really
the word association thing where you just pick like 10 words and then.
Oh no! I was saying for our warm up segment where we.
Oh,
pick a game
I completely forgot about that.
How dare you! It was
I'm
amazing.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're excited. You go for it. You explain the segment first for those who forgot, including myself.
So, name pending. I guess I don't know to try and throw something on there. We'll call it Zesting Up Board Games. This beloved segment that is two episodes long now. Mm-hmm. We take a board game, and if there's even just any like small little tweak, something you know, just. Inputting even who knows a different like color scheme on it or just like one small rule, one small little flavor to add into a game. What would be something fun that we would like to see to really kind of revamp a game or give it a new twist? So let me think. I've actually have been thinking of Monopoly, and I know that Monopoly has gone through hundreds of iterations, I'm gonna guess, between, you know, just the various IPs that have done Monopoly, let alone there's the credit card Monopoly now that there's actually no money. Yeah, have you? Go ahead and look it up while I'm going through this, because it is.
I believe you.
Oh yeah. But it's Monopoly, but with cards, and there's even like a little like electronic like scanner. Well, not like scanner, but like a credit card machine that you put a card in, and if you want to like transfer money between two people, you have to put the cards in the two sides and then tell it which way it's going, and you know, all kinds of. It's basically like a calculator. Yeah.
Wild.
So if I were to give something to revamp Monopoly, I think Monopoly needs like a chutes and ladders type style, because I know that some people have it as like a house rule that like if you own two railroads that are across the board from each other, you can jump from railroad to railroad, which is...
Whoa, that's a good idea. I love that idea.
It's very arbitrary. That's very arbitrary, but I think like if I were to like revamp the Monopoly board, I think I would make like it'd be like back alleys, and it would be like, you know, some guys, you know, in leather jackets and stuff like that, like straight out of Greece, and you know, you got to grease their palm in order to get through the alley, so you know, maybe like you have to like put like a 50 back at the bank or something like that. But yeah, then when you get through the alley, you can like skip a portion of the board potentially, but you got to obviously land on the space where the alley starts to then use it. And
well, you should definitely, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And you maybe you if you've got like one of those first neighborhoods or something, maybe the back alleys are like a little bit seedier. Like if you don't own that property, then the people that live in the back alley will rough you up or something like that, or like demand some kind of payment if you don't own that property. And say that would be like a kind of a bonus. If you've got, you know, the final place that's $400, the people living in that alley, they're not going to take any money from you. They, you know, they're rich on their own. But if you land on that one that the rent is like literally $8 or something like that, you pay the rent for the $8. But then if you want to use the back alley, that's like, that's $400, because they'll rough you up.
Or what if like back alleys, like, because like obviously, if someone gets a full monopoly of one of the colors, then, you know, it's kind of game, set, match there. There's very little that you can do unless you also get lucky and get a monopoly. What if you owned, the start and the end of an alley, you can place like houses and, you know, quote unquote hotels on the alleys so that the alleys become more expensive.
You could do that. Yeah. I like that idea too.
And it'd be called Monopoly Wise Guys.
I think Wise Guys is probably actually the best. I couldn't think of anything else. That's great. I like, that's a good addition. Way to zest up Monopoly.
You're welcome, Monopoly.
Yeah, you're welcome to use that, Hasbro.
Yeah, get at us. But don't actually.
I will say, for my zest, unless, are you done, or did you have any more zests for Monopoly?
Nah, I think that's all they deserve for now.
Yeah, we can't just throw around these. You've got to pay us if you want some more great ideas.
Exactly.
I definitely did not forget about the segment. I definitely knew that this was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, for some reason, the only thing that popped in my head was a rule for sorry, where you could say apology accepted, and then that would do something. And I don't know what would happen with the board game itself, but when you knock someone out of their space and you go, sorry, the person can pick up their piece and go, apology accepted. And then maybe, I don't know, take out another one of their pieces or something like that. Like, one of their own pieces for being thankful. I don't know. You may not even need to do anything else, like, in the rule itself. You just, there's a special rule that says, it's polite to say apology accepted, especially to your bratty kid that just knocked you all the way home.
The game is not called Star anymore. It's just called Forgiveness.
It's just a game about actually picking up other people's pieces and putting them back at start, and then the other person forgiving. And who else can forgive the best wins.
That's what I was gonna say. And the game never ends.
It doesn't.
You just go around the board. There's no actual home for your pegs or whatever the little, I guess, what would those be called? Like they're like up. They look like a jack, but whatever. It's like,
yeah, you just, something like that.
There's no home for them. They just circle the board until you run into someone and say sorry, and they go, apology accepted. You have my forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, there would have to be some. Yeah, there's definitely a start, but there's no end to where the pieces go, and the pieces do just circle the board until they actually get knocked back to their start, and that's how the game would continue to go until, I don't know, someone gets tired of giving forgiveness, and if you get angry once, you're out of the game. That's how you leave the game.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So even if it's something that's not related to the game, like if you get a text message saying that you're like a bank account was hacked or something, you cannot get angry or else you will.
You must forgive them.
Yeah. Only forgiveness in this game of forgiveness.
Yeah. Even if the house that you're playing in is on fire, you must forgive the fire for interrupting your game. And if you leave, then, you know, that's on you.
That's, yeah, then you lose. Then you risk then losing. Yeah.
In the game of forgiveness, there are no winners. There's only other losers.
Uh-huh. The board cannot be picked up and taken elsewhere either. It has to stay stationary. It's really wobbly so that if you pick it up, everything would fall over.
Or it just, like, comes with nails in it, so you have to, like, pound it into whatever, you know, surface you're playing on.
Yeah, that would be, and that would just be a permanent fixture. I was thinking, you know how some boards, they're, like, cut up into 4 pieces and you fold them?
Mm-hmm.
This would be cut up into, like, 100 pieces, so that, like, literally every single link on it, like, you couldn't pick it up unless you were done playing with it. Because every single thing would just, like, flip and fold and just, like, fall over.
It's like a flip book for a board.
Yep. That's forgiveness.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, to go along with that, forgiveness boards are probably very flimsy, and they may rip when someone's getting it out to be like, it's okay, I forgive you.
Yeah. The game is called Forgiveness and Patience. That's the game's title.
There we go.
So, there you go. I think this Hasbro also makes Sorry?
I believe so. I don't know otherwise, but yeah.
Let's just 2 for 2. You're welcome, Hasbro, for both of these great ideas.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. Do you have any suggestions, themes, any witches come to you or Wiccans come to you and predict a board game from Yon Hai or I don't know
how? Yeah. Well, I have a sticky note here that's posted to my computer, my monitor, and all it says is board game idea, buddy cop, with a question mark. And then I kind of left, and then we went and did our own things. And I don't have any sort of follow-up on what that would look like or how it would operate. It just says buddy cop, question mark. So that is the only thing I can contribute to this.
One word, buddy cop, or two words, buddy?
Two words, buddy, and then cop. And then a question mark. But I think that was not related to the actual game itself. I think that was just me thinking, is this a good idea? Can we make a buddy cop board game?
Well, can I just spitball immediately what I thought of as soon as you said that?
Sure.
Because I feel like we haven't done one of these in a little while, and I mean, I'm always a huge fan of the nuance and hidden style of Hidden Identity games. It's not just buddy cop. It's buddy cop with a question mark. Like, is this really your buddy? Are they really going to, you know, get your back? Or maybe you are, you know, someone who is looking for your buddy. You know, you're trying to find your pair or your match and you're not sure who it is.
This is a great idea. Okay, here's what I started thinking about as you were saying that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you play as a single, you're one cop, and you are looking to find your buddy. This isn't actually about solving crimes. This game is not about, like, actually the police work. It is just about finding your buddy.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that there's, like, two teams. There's good cops and bad cops, but you don't want to be on the team with another good cop if you're a good cop. You got to find the right bad cop, maybe. Oh,
this, yeah, you have to find your maverick, your yeah. your wild cannon. So this is an 80s throwback for yeah. sure. Okay.
Exactly. So, yeah, the point is, and I'm thinking, like, there maybe could be some objectives that, like, the team of bad cops maybe want to do something to win on their own, but in addition to that, they can't team up with another bad cop to do... You know what I'm saying? Where there's, like...
Yeah, yeah.
There's a team objective for the good cops and bad cops, but also, like, in order to get the team objective done, they have to, like... basically what I had said there. So that's about all that I got.
Okay. All right. How about this? The board game takes place at a banquet, and the bad cops are, we'll just, I mean, to kind of give them a theme, it's, or at least a flavor. They're like pranksters. That's what they're known for, you know, their quote unquote badness is that they're just, you know, lovable little pranksters, where the good cops, they're straight and narrow. They kind of do, you know, everything by the book, from mm-hmm. tying their shoelaces to tucking their shirts in and you know, tie a classic half Windsor straight, perfect 90 degree folds. I have no idea about ties, if any of that makes sense, but it's at a banquet, and yeah, it's kind of about the good cops. They're trying to, yeah, find their buddy, and they're trying to identify which one of the pranksters is their buddy, and to try to, like, not wrangle them in, but to try and, like, you know, be like, oh, okay, like, I've identified them, and I don't know if it would be, like, you have to do, like, a series of actions to thwart their pranks or something like that, but yeah, it's kind of like, it's a competitive game where it's one team versus another team, but it's specifically... also, like, you go head to head with someone else, and maybe you don't know who that is at first. And I think then, to kind of also sign, seal, and deliver it, I think after a certain number of rounds, maybe after like certain times, to kind of like see the progression of the game and who's scoring, intermittently Sarge will bust into the room and say, "What's going on in here?" And it'll be, you know, like a card that's like flipped or whatever. And then you'll see how many pranks were successful, how many pranks were thwarted, and that'll be how the teams score sequentially. And I don't know, maybe Sarge busts into the banquet 3 times, and whoever is in the lead at the end of the game is the one that wins.
I love this idea that there is a Sarge card. Like, yeah, okay, so imagine that if there's, like, a deck of cards and Sarge gets randomly shuffled into it, and as you're pulling up cards, wherever Sarge may be, that's when he pops in. A round can last, like 2 players' turns, or can last, like, excuse me, or can last, like, a really long time until the deck is out, and Sarge is just at the bottom of it.
Oh, so, yeah.
So you never know when Sarge will pop up. So you got to really be on your game. Additionally, I was also thinking, like, how about, what if this game was played in a way kind of like Mario Party? How you maybe go around a board, but, like, teams will randomly get paired up. Unless you, like, want to make a commitment to a specific player. If you're still going solo, then you'll get randomly matched up again, like, with other cops to be on their team for, like, maybe not, like, a mini game, but, like, make, like, decisions or something of that nature until you're, like... you know, I'm vibing with this one other cop here. Maybe that we should just be on a permanent team.
Okay. Yeah. But that's the thing. So when you're on a team, their objectives for those, you know, quote unquote mini games or like, I guess, mini assignments, those, yes, they have the same objective, but then, like, would there be a main gameplay objective still in place where one team is trying to accomplish different goals and the other team is trying to basically stop those goals, or would it all just be scored by mini games and seeing how different groups do?
No, I think there should be like an overarching, I mean, much like Mario Party, is that there's the mini games, but then also the goal to get a star or something like that.
That's true.
So we could go at an angle. I was thinking, like, I like the idea of it setting at a convention, but instead of like pranks and stuff like that, what if it was like a convention that it was, or like a Cop Olympics or something like that, where there's like different venues and things of that nature where you have to do like an interrogation of like, not like a live one, but it's like which cop can do the best like interrogation of like these suspects or whatever, or like looking for evidence, or in a fake, you know, crime scene where the good cop would be very good at finding the real evidence, and then like the bad cop would like plant some evidence or something of that nature.
Can we pivot super? I just have for theming. Also, I think it'll be easier to come up with like the mini games and stuff like that. Since there's stuff. What about instead of cops, we do? I mean, hey, we can call them, you know, whatever we want. We can call them constables or whatever. But what if this was knights? What if this was knights and this was like a medieval like tournament that they were at, and there were, you know, the good knights and the rapscallion knights. And I don't know, maybe we still call the person in charge Sarge, and they're just, you know.
Yeah, that has to stay. Sarge has to stay.
Yeah. Just saying, instead of like the 80s cop thing, just because I don't know, I feel like 80s cop is kind of like played on stuff like that, and I want to give it that patch-potch spin.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that, but can we still have like, if it's
Or what about Western sheriffs?
Sheriffs, good sheriff, bad sheriff.
Yeah.
Because I still want that to be in it. I want the good and bad. I mean, I'm fine with either knights or sheriffs or...
I'm just trying to think of a world where games and competition and stuff like that would be a little bit easier for us to, you know, ostensibly come up with.
Imagine if we had 80s cops, then one of the competitions can be like, can you slide across the car of this hood? You know, how well can you do that?
That is good.
You know, it doesn't necessarily... Maybe let's not go strictly into, like... I take back what I said. Let's not do interrogations and crime scene investigation and whatnot. Let's do all of the performative aspects of, like, being an 80s cop. Like, the competitions would be, like, something along the lines of, like, sliding across the hood. And maybe a bad cop can like grease up the hood and maybe make one of the other cops
flying off. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Wait. Okay. Hold on. What if this is it? Instead of playing pranks on like the convention, the whole point of the bad cops is that they're good at pranking. Like they want to find a good cop so that they can like equal out their team. Cause like bad cops will try to sabotage other teams. The good cops will try to, what can a good cop do to like benefit their own team, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
there's like
yeah.
that balance there.
Other than just like doing stuff by the books, by like paperwork and stuff, I can't really like think of anything.
We'll come up with that.
We'll
figure that out. But yeah, maybe we make this competition all about the... It still should be a convention. Like, you should still be able to go around the board and, like, maybe stop at a certain place to get some really sick sunglasses or something like
that.
That's
what I was just about to say. Maybe you stop at, tipping.
Like, yeah. Or you stop at, like, a hair salon that's in there and get a sweet, like, some curly hair or some gel or something like that. It's all for the benefit of, like, getting the look.
Yes.
There's no place to buy, like, guns or anything like that or handcuffs. No. Maybe a gun holster. Yeah, this is all off-duty stuff. So, let's think about some quirky competition and stuff like that. I've got sliding across the hood of a car.
Yeah, that's perfect. Oh. What about like there are all those chases down like stairways or ladders or whatever on the sides of buildings, and they have to like jump into like a garbage or like a dumpster or something like that. So definitely.
Oh, that's perfect.
I'm honestly imagining that this game would just come with just almost like a wacky style of Plinko that you would drop like maybe like a little piece down, see how they could do, and then you try to catch them in the dumpster at the bottom.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, we should definitely do that.
So that's actually the thing that I wanted to ask then. As we're coming up with these, are these assignments in terms of gameplay? Is this something where you have cards that you play to augment it, or maybe you like roll dice and then see how well you can do, or like change the dice, or like is it going to be something that is like can be like strategic or strategy, or does this game have physical components that you compete in mini game style?
Hmm.
I'm down with either one. I just want.
I haven't really decided on what is. Honestly, I'm not quite sure on the answer to that yet. I know that both of them would have a pretty, like, good. That well, let's put a cap on that. Let's get some more games, and then maybe we can figure out.
Okay.
What exactly how this can all sort of mesh together? Because I was thinking. So the alleyway thing is perfect. I love this mock alley inside mm-hmm. this convention. What if there was also like some sort of competition? It'd be like their version of pole vaulting of how well you can like scale a fence and like the fence gets taller and taller and taller.
That's good. It's like reverse limbo.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be like one of the feats that they'd be able to do. So yeah, jumping into a dumpster, scaling a fence, sliding off, you know, sliding across the hood of a car.
Mm. I know it's like basically the same as jumping into a dumpster, but I feel like they're always like diving into water to avoid an explosion or something like that.
I was just thinking that as well. There should definitely be like an explosion corner.
Yeah.
Where at one point of the convention center, it's not just like diving into water to avoid an explosion. It's also like how well you can like look away and walk away from an explosion without being unnerved or something of that nature.
Oh, definitely jumping a car driving over something like off of a ramp.
Oh yeah.
Or something like that.
Dukes of Hazzard style, something of that nature.
Yeah. I mean, we're actually doing pretty good right now. I'm on pretty, well, I don't know. I guess 80s tropes have been around since the 80s. And referenced quite a lot, so, you know.
A good point, yes.
I was just honestly very impressed with our ability to recall this information.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the greatest buddy cop movie, that being Tango and Cash.
I don't think I've actually seen that movie.
It's Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone, and it was like made in a time where just buddy cop movies were a standard, so there's literally no introduction of like how any of the world operates. Yeah. you're supposed to just assume like Kurt Russell's the you know, do whatever cop, like he's the bad one. There's like literally a ninja inside his apartment and he fights it as soon as he gets in. And this isn't like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then like after he like kills the dude, he like goes and makes breakfast and he's like, just another day as a cop. Like like it's literally like a ninja like hiding in his closet, and then he fights it. And then Sylvester Stallone is the good cop. And he's also like got a streak of his own, like his own dad thing.
Because there's no such thing as an uncool 80s cop.
Well, it's like Sylvester Stallone, they try to make him uncool, but he's in glasses and he's got his like polo buttoned up all the way.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. And he like stops some, also first 5 minutes of the movie, he stops some like truck that's like full of gasoline by playing chicken with it. And then like the truck like chickens out, I guess, and like turns away from his really tiny convertible that it's like heading towards. And then some chief is like, you don't have any jurisdiction here. This is just a gas rig. And then he shoots the gas rig and like the entire thing is filled with cocaine. And he's like, you sure about that, chief? And then he like walks away. And then the rest of the movie happens. I really recommend you watch it. Cause it is really bad, but it is past the spectrum of being terrible to just being like, this is actually gold garbage.
There we go. Oh, another one. How about, and I don't know if it would be driving to avoid these or driving to hit as many as you can, but I feel like they always run into like a fruit vendor or like a, you know, a newspaper cart or something like that, that someone's like wheeling around and they hit it and it, you know, explodes and stuff like that. So I don't know if you're trying to hit as many as possible on this course or if you're trying to avoid as many as possible.
No, I think it should definitely be hitting it, because then I can imagine if you're like driving and you hit one of these carts, they would measure it based on like the distance of like the furthest
it's
cabbage.
Like, it's like the biggest splash competition or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's which of these, how far did the fruit get from like the cart itself as you're driving like 100 miles per hour.
There we go. Yeah, because obviously, you know, anything under 60 is for chumps.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like all of these competitions are honestly just for bad cops. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, hold on. Maybe it is all, these are all the competitions, but you can do it in either a good way or a bad way. So the bad cops, they slide over the hood of the car, obviously, where the good guys just run around it and then, you know, unlock it and do it the regular way. But that is where, again, there can be sabotage and pranks, and they grease the ground below it, and so they slip and slide on their butt, and it's hilarious.
This is good, because then that's why you wouldn't want to have another bad cop on your team, because then if you sabotage it the way that a bad cop would, then you'd be also sabotaging, like, your own partner when...
Yeah.
Like, you don't want the other cop that you're teamed up with to slide across the hood, because you've already greased it up. You want them to run around the other side and unlock it and then, you know, get in it normally. Whereas a good cop can maybe... Do they sabotage? What does a good... I'm still actually confused on this. I know I said we'd get to it later, but now I think it is later.
but the time has come. The board game must be paid. I mean, that's the thing. That's why I'm like kind of like struggling of like why, like, or like how it would work. Like, would they just like block the hood and be like, no, you can't slide across. You got to walk. Like, you got to do it regular. Or would it be that it's just like, I don't know if it does work, then it. It's like fine, or like then like it like pays off. That's just kind of where I'm struggling of like, or is this just a cool cop, you know, doesn't matter who you are or what you're trying to do, it's everyone just has the same things and you're just trying to pair up to try to, like, you know, I guess just do the best on a team with someone else.
Yeah, I think that's probably the better way to go about it, because I'm trying to think of, like, no one probably wants to be labeled as like the good cop, because, well, so far we haven't really thought about any benefit to being a good cop. But additionally, given the chance to do some rad, cool off-road stuff, I don't know. Maybe we should, like, the good cops be, like, NPCs or something like that, and you just, like...
Just, like, other things that, like, try to, like, that, like, show up, and if they have a certain score or number or whatever, you don't... go past a certain threshold that they have, whatever it is, then they thwart you. And wait a minute, here we go.
Okay,
the more and more stuff that gets pulled off, or like the, you know, again, these rambunctious kind of prankster, you know, maverick cops are doing, the more stuff that they do, the higher, like, or I guess I should say the more stuff that they do and get caught doing it, the higher, like, a meter goes or whatever, and that's when Sarge gets called in. And if you can't, like, you know, cover up or hide the fact that you've been, you know, horsing around or whatever, if you can't hide that, then it's like, I don't know, like a strike against the game in general, or like one towards ending, or heck, maybe it is just a game ending thing right there, and whoever has the highest,
I think that's perfect. Yeah. And then that's why you need... Okay, all right. There wasn't an even number of good cops to bad cops. There's actually more bad cop players than good cops.
Okay.
And the good cops are kind of a hot commodity that the bad cops want to have because of this meter, which I love this idea, because then maybe that the good cops are there. They can also still do the cool things, and they can also still compete in the competition. But the good cops, why you want to have them on your team is so that you can sort of dissuade them from...
Oh, classic buddy cop things that they can... Because the good cops are the only ones that can talk to, and I'm just going to name them right now, Deputy Dork, who's trying to ruin all the fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Deputy Dork, he's the one that calls Sarge, and he's the one who's tallying up all of the different sort of
the misdemeanors.
Yeah, just the different things that, you know, cops shouldn't be, 80s cops shouldn't be doing, like greasing the hood of a car.
Yeah. And come on, guys.
Exactly. Stuff of that nature.
Not in here.
So he's the one, the good cops are a hot commodity, and they're the ones, yeah, they can basically, they speak the lingo of Deputy Dork, because they've read the book, and they know it.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, they've read the book, and they know exactly what needs to be said, so you right. definitely need to. And there's also some piece of it where, like, the good cops, they do want to team up with, you know, a bad cop to accomplish, I don't know, something of some other sort of goal. But they can switch around if they want to. If one of the bad cops is too bad and they can't get behind that, they're like, sorry, I'm out of here. And so they can switch teams if they want.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it isn't a game of one side versus the other and then pairing off. Maybe it is literally a game of two people identifying like that they like each other's strategy or something like that. And who knows, maybe they try to betray each other in the end, and or at least like switch to a different partner, a different team or whatever. But I think all of these things, all of these competitions, you must play in a pair. So you have to go in with someone else, right. Someone that could, you know, again, compliment you or like, you know, your buddy, quote unquote. And at the end of the game, two people win. It's whoever, and I think this is actually perfect because it could make it then that like maybe someone is going for a strategy where they like kind of purposefully are bad the entire time. But I think the winner of the game is whoever has the highest score and then whoever is their partner. So you don't have to have the highest score in order to win. You just have to be partners with the person that does have the highest score.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great way to go about it. I think if we're, like, for this game's mechanic-wise, I like the idea that you do have to play these with a team. So yeah. We would need an even number of... You can't play this with an odd number of players, but I want to say, like, the breakdown. Let's say there's, like, 12 players total. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to say, like, it's so uneven that there'd be, like, 4 good cops and 8 bad cops, so that there'd be a team of, like, 2 bad cops together that are just, like really... You know, they're really doing nefarious things.
They replace the mustard with shampoo.
Exactly. Stuff of that nature.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds pretty good. I'm coming around to this game. I was a little hesitant at first.
I think it was a good idea to get away from the actual cop part and just get to the...
that's what I was going to say.
actual, just like all the things that make a buddy cop movie great to watch. I will say, in one scene in Tango and Cash, there was Tango and Cash were showering, and they were both just looking at each other's wieners and just comparing them and just making just sweet razzes about each other's wiener size. So maybe that could be one of our competitions as well, where both partners get inside.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not even saying that's I don't know. It's like problematic on some levels, but it's also just like really weird. That is like some intense, strange energy going on there.
It was a very weird scene. And I think even Sylvester Stallone was making fun of Kurt Russell's wiener just on how big it was. I think he was like, that's too big. And... So, like I said, recommend watching Tango and Cash. Great movie. So, we don't need to put that one in. I just wanted to throw that one out there if
I needed to throw out something on Tango and Cash to...
buddy cop showering scene. Well, that can be in the not suitable for work expansion if everyone's really interested. If we can generate enough buzz about one bonus competition of showering together.
If we can team up with Cards Against Humanity, if they want to... you know, get their IP on this thing, get their brand on it, then I'm down.
I'm all for it. Or, you know, even if they don't want to be part of it, if you just want enough buzz about the not suitable for the cop office expansion.
Yeah, just wowzers, man. I don't know. that's something else.
It's golden garbage. Literally the worst buddy cop movie ever made, but also the best. Anyways, all right, so that one's not in. We can get rid of that
so
one.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect. Okay. I mean, I think we have enough. I think we genuinely have enough on this one that we can slap a title on it. Who goes first? Ship it out. Get ready to go. Yeah?
Yeah. One thing, and we could just make this a one-sentence thing.
Go for it.
We also did not decide if this was played by cards or having physical
props. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
We could just say yes or no to that. We don't need to get into it at all. We can just say, how do you feel about it?
Here's my pitch for why it should be physical components, like small things, like, again, like a small, like, Plinko, or even if it was, like, something that did have to kind of, like, be unfolded over a table. That is, like, the epitome of the, like, partner thing. Even if it was, like, as simple as, or the games were as simple as, like, one player, like, throws a, like, almost like a ping pong ball style thing, and the other person has to catch it in, like, this, like, tiny cup across, like, a certain distance or whatever. It's just, like, fun, small, little, again, like, party game type things. But that also, like, will go into the aspect of, like, because if you just have cards, if someone has, like, you know, better cards, or, like, they're, like, you know, just better at, like, the strategy part of that, like, you're always kind of going to want them to be your partner. But maybe someone's, like, really good at the little Plinko game, and someone's really, or someone else is really good at, like, the beer pong style, like, game, or whatever we include in it. And so that would make you more tempted then to be like, oh, okay, geez, like, I want this person to be my partner, but then I also kind of want to switch partners for the next game so that I have, like, someone who's better at doing this little, again, I'm not saying anything, like, huge, like, physical, like, things. They're mostly just, like, hand-eye coordination and sometimes luck, like with Plinko.
Yeah, I like this idea actually as well, because I'm imagining, yeah, there's two aspects of it to playing these games where you've got to have both your partners there. I was imagining for the, like, the smashing your car against, like, the fruit cart kind of thing, you would have, like, one person, like, have this rubber band kind of slingshot that would have, like, suction cups to a table, and you'd have, like, a little toy Hot Wheels thing, and then the other person would then, like, have to push the cart at just the right time that the car was coming. So one person has a slingshot that you pull back with the Hot Wheels, and the other person just has, like, another slingshot, a smaller one that has the cart. And then you have to make sure that they, like, both collide together. And then you can measure out how many of those little pieces and how far they went.
Yeah. Or yeah, no, that's, like, perfect. I was, like, honestly thinking too, like, the car sliding game could literally be almost like, what's that game where you, like, slide, you, like, have to, like, slide something across the table, but it has to, like, it's like that paper football or whatever, where you have to slide it across the table.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to go over go over the edge, but only to, like, a certain degree, or it still has to be on the table. So that would be, like, you know, one person tries to slide something, the other person tries to line up the target so that it gets, you know, as close to the center of the target as possible. And, you know, right there you go.
That's great. Yeah, and then if you go too far, then your cop slips off and he hurts his butt.
Yeah, injured butt injury. Got to go ice it.
And then you can also use that paper football for the fence one, where you have to literally flick it to make a field goal. And every single time that you flick it, another piece is added so that the fence gets higher and higher, so that anyone else who gets to that competition has to beat the previous score.
You know, I'm actually, you know? I'm really enjoying this, because now we're basically just packaging a board game that comes with, like, it's basically just like, do you want to play a bunch of drinking games but have it around a board game, and there's, like, trackable scores and stuff like that? And that is just, like, screaming buddy cop energy to me.
Yeah,
just various, like, fun little drinking games to play with people.
This board game should come with, like, 20 sets of, like, cheap sunglasses as well that everyone has
there
to
we
wear
go. There
while
we go.
They're playing this game. Or maybe if you get disgraced or something like that, then someone pulls your glasses off, and it's like, you will earn these glasses back when you get the cool field goal or whatever.
All right, wait, because you threw that on, and that's amazing. Who goes first? Whoever can either, like, pull off their glasses in the most dramatic fashion, or whoever can put on the glasses and have a great, like, one-liner, like, in the same vein as, like, NCIS Miami,
yeah.
I think it is. Whoever can do that. And it'll just be, you know, a jury, or, you know, judged by the people that are playing. Whoever does it best, they go first.
Best pun. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, best
pun.
And
it should all be, you get a card to say, to come up with the scenario of, like, you know, someone got hit in the head by a bowling ball, or someone committed a murder by smacking someone in the head with a bowling ball.
Yeah.
And you say, looks like the perps gonna get a strike, or something like that, something of that nature, you know.
Looks
something
like
better
this
than
guy
what I said.
Struck out.
Yeah, or yeah, you use it for, know, even like a baseball pun.
Well, you know? I guess I was going for like the past tense of a strike of bowling, but I guess it's not really a verb. You get a strike.
Yeah, it's got to be like,
ah, dang. Hit, ah, jeez.
Hit in the head with a bowling ball.
Looks like this pinhead's going to jail.
That's pretty good. I was like very close to something with like gutter, like.
Oh, gutter ball. That's a good one.
I'm going to throw this guy in the gutter. I don't know. But yeah, just stuff of that nature. There's like 100 different cards in there that only get used for who goes first.
Yeah.
And they describe the scene of a crime that your cop is walking away from and then heading immediately over to this convention.
Yeah. Perfect. Name? Slap it on the board. I'm really struggling. The thing is, though, so, okay, to honestly, to, and this isn't like that different, but I honestly feel like we're not really talking about cops anymore. It's kind of the same thing. We're more of talking about like detectives and investigators, I feel like, that are doing this. So like,
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Should detective be in the title? Because again, buddy cop,
but everyone calls it a buddy cop movie, you know.
I know, but I guess I'm
buddy
just
detective,
right. And all I'm pitching then is for us to bridge that gap and to kind of plant our flag as we're making buddy detectives. I know it's not
a stretch. I mean,
there.
If we can come up with the perfect bridge for it, I'd be on board, but
I know. Well, let's just maybe just start throwing some titles or some ideas, and maybe that nugget will reveal itself to us.
Okay.
Okay. Here's one idea or vein. It would be something like we would name it in the same, I guess, kind of sense as like it would be the name of the convention or the banquet that they were. Well, I guess we've pivoted to a convention, but yeah, it would be the name of the convention that this is. That would be the name of the board game. I don't know if you want to go with that, but that was just an idea that I had.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. We could do that. I was also thinking of, like, Buddy Brawl or, like...
Buddy Con. Buddy Con, Miami Vice.
Buddy, NCI Buddy. What does NCIS even stand for?
I have zero idea.
New, cool, in style.
new, no, I don't like
that. NCIS, naval. Wait,
what?
So it's the N, NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Services.
So
is that NCIS? Is that all the Navy?
It's sea crimes.
Is that really? Wait a minute, NCIS.
I mean, it takes place in Miami, so there's plenty of sea crimes.
What am I trying to? Just meeting, NCIS meeting. Yeah, the Naval Criminal. Wait, really? That's what the N stands for?
But I don't think it's the Navy, because that's like a military branch. Whereas, like, this sounds like water cops, aqua cops.
The profile, the Naval Investigation. Let's see, is designated. Are designed to help commanding officers understand how the NCIS serves them in their commands. The NCIS was formerly known as Naval. What on earth?
That's like wild though, because not everything that they. I mean, I guess there are boats and stuff in the show, but like.
It is a civilian ran agency and is headed by civilian law enforcement.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had no idea that's what the N stood for.
Yeah. That's weird.
What if we called the whole thing, and we didn't call it NCIS, but we called it, like, neat, cool, in-style, buddy cops.
neat,
maybe
cool,
not that
in-style. That's what they should rebrand themselves to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm cool with Buddy Con, but Buddy Con doesn't really get across the fact that they're also, like, detectives or cops or...
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like other like acronyms and stuff like that are for like.
What if we went into like the 80s portion of it? Like we leaned heavily into that and just called it like, I don't know, just something like radical or like, you know.
I like that. That's speaking to me.
Tubular. That's another word. that gets used.
What about like, so like a PI, private investigator, what if these, like, since they're, this is kind of like, you know, they're being pranksters, or they're kind of not playing by the rules, they're like private instigators or something like that.
Private instigators. I don't know, man.
Buddy con, private instigators on the loose. I don't know. Loose cannon, instigators.
Loose cannon. I like the idea of...
Throwing that in,
yeah. I like loose cannon. I think we should have... Yeah, it's got to be something like... What's the other... Like, just by the book or something? I mean, that could be like how you designate... Yeah. Maybe not good cop, bad cop. We say... You're the kind of that's a loose cannon versus by the book, and those are the two quote unquote teams or like
there we go. Yeah.
Amps.
Yeah.
So I mean, we could do something along the lines of like what, like a lot of colons, like loose cannon v by the books, buddy con. I don't know.
Wait.
This is hard as hell.
That was it.
Okay, loose, you got it.
Loose cannons with. By the books, colon, buddy con, colon, back with a revengeance.
Sure. I'll just say yeah to that. That's fine. I just, like, I literally can't think of anything else that's that would work.
Loose cannons and by the book, colon, buddy cons, colon. It doesn't have to be back with a revengeance, but what if we did, like, a Fast Times at Buddy Con? Loose cannons and by the book.
Fast Times at Buddy Con, loose cannons v by the book.
Yeah,
I like that. That's good. Say that one more time, just so I can remember it.
Fast times at Buddy Cop colon.
No. Fast Times at Buddy Con.
Oh yes, yes. Sorry. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. No. Fast Times at Buddy Con colon. Loose cannons v by the book.
Okay, that's perfect. Now I can take this sticky note off my desktop now.
And now I can burn it in the fires.
Now I can destroy it.
Whew. All right. Yeah, that was hard. I'm not really good at thinking of buddy cop titles, I'm learning.
I know. And you know what's going to be really dumb is that as soon as we like close this thing in like plus 2 days, I will think of like a great title for this.
Like Radical Con.
Yeah, or something like that. It just like, I don't know. It's fine. It's fine.
That's what it says at the bottom of the box. It's fine. That's the tagline.
Fast Times at Buddy Con, Loose Cannon V by the books. It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us on this lengthy journey of creating board games.
Mm-hmm. We are Miss Dunn Needs More Games over here at Patch Potch. You can find us at Patch Potch R&D on Twitter. And for any professional inquiries, it is patchpotchllc@gmail.com. Spelling it all out. PATCHPOTCH.
Yeah.
If you enjoy this episode or any of the episodes that we do, please tell your friends about us. We appreciate that. Word of mouth and getting the word out. And, you know, just hearing from people talk about us or saying like, hey, really enjoyed it. We would really appreciate any of those things. So thank you in advance.
Yeah, most definitely. I second what my brother has said.
I think that's it. You want to sign us off?
I can just keep talking about Tango and Cash for like 30 more minutes if you'd like, right. And then we could use that as a sign off.
No, just give me just one more wild fact about Tango and Cash, which I think will just be literally anything about the movie.
Let's see. There's a lot of wild facts to go off of. I already talked about the shower scene.
Maybe just like one good scene. One good scene that really sticks out to you.
There's a gadgets guy in the movie, and I don't even think they give him a name, but he's just assumed to be the gadgets guy, and they're always like, hey, thanks, dork, for this cool gadget, and that's about it.
Oh, boy.
That's not a good sign-off. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything else. Bye!
See ya.